Hello, this is Dr. Mark Rohde. I'm a psychologist who works with drugs, alcohol, you know, a lot of recovery issues. Today I'm talking about money management for those in recovery. First, please understand, I'd like you to think about this issue from two perspectives, yours and those around you, perhaps your wife, your spouse, your family, your friends. Like many aspects of recovery, money and the way it's managed affects a lot of people, and its effects differ from person to person. If you better understand the perspective of those around you, you'll be in a seriously enhanced position to have positive relationships with those people. Frankly, I've reviewed some of the money management advice offered to people in recovery and have not been positively impressed that it's worth much. I've got to think that's because the reasons behind the financial distress of those in recovery are so varied that generic advice just isn't specific enough to do much good. To make these podcasts more useful, please share your experiences with your coach. Let us know what worked, what hasn't, and we'll try to create future podcasts with the combined wisdom of those who have been the most successful. Okay, now I'll give it my best shot. This might sound kind of mean, but an awful lot of young people in recovery have never learned how to manage their money. So recovery challenges are layered upon the financial realities of learning to be an adult. And that learning has got to happen almost from scratch. If you're young and needing a job, there's another podcast that specifically addresses the job hunt. Ask your coach about it. Now, if you're in your 20s, you're probably aware that some bad habits probably interfered with the life lessons that you should have learned in your teens, or after high school, perhaps in college. For many people in their 30s or 40s, the situation is often as challenging, but the situation's different. There may be huge debts, loss of a job, perhaps child support, an impending divorce, or maybe some combination of these and other challenges. Task number one for dealing with money management has got to be having a strong recovery plan. Nothing is going to happen with your finances until you're on top of your sobriety. Now, chances are that you've learned in treatment a lot about emotional regulation, maybe human relations, the chemistry of addiction, self-awareness, coping skills, mindfulness, refusal skills, and a slew of other topics. But money management probably didn't receive much, if any, attention, even though it's critically important for successful recovery. One of your next tasks is to figure out if you ever knew how to manage your money, or if you knew it to some limited degree prior to the time that addiction became the focus of your life. If you were once good at managing your money, you'll want to carefully consider what made you successful, and then do it again. In order to manage your money, you'll want to examine what you've got in assets, what you're likely to have as income, and what you owe. It's probably pretty important to write it down. If all of this seems overwhelming, remind yourself that you don't have to go it alone. Ask a friend or a family member to help with it, especially if it seems like it's just too much. You will be able to regain the skills to manage with a little help from your friends. You probably have made some financial mistakes, and you'll want to make amends. But you can't do it all at once. If you dwell too much on the past, it will be tough to move toward the future. Don't get ahead of yourself, and be sure to monitor your negativity. Now let's think about what's in your wallet. And I'm not talking about a Capital One credit card. If you've got cash, a credit card, or a debit card in your wallet, just seeing them may trigger a connection to drugs and alcohol, or perhaps overspending. My suggestion? Look inside yourself and carefully decide what type of money is the least risky for you. Now, if that's cash, keep as little money in your wallet as possible. Oh, and seriously avoid Capital One. They really do sue their customers for smaller owed amounts than most any bank issuing credit cards. For many people in recovery, getting a job or keeping a job is really, really important. There are plenty of ideas for job hunting on the internet, so I won't repeat them here. If keeping your job is an issue, the best advice is typically to own your past. Admit to the mistakes you've made and work incredibly hard to build a different future. You'll want to think about how you want to be perceived at work, and then foster a powerful work ethic that no one can deny. There is sometimes an issue of knowing when it's best to return to work after a period of residential treatment. Many people in recovery are anxious to return to work, and others are rightly nervous about the questions they'll likely face after being off work for weeks or months. You may want to think about your talking points when the inevitable questions come up. Or you may want to simply acknowledge that things have been rough and ask your coworkers to respect your desire for privacy. If you've never had a job or have a weak job history, you'll want to perhaps grudgingly accept that any job is better than no job, and recognize that it's always easier to get a job if you've had a job, any job. You may have to swallow your pride to accept a position that you view as being beneath you, but right now you need to build a job history that documents your dependability. One part of money management is separating needs and wants. The reality is that we all need to eat. But the reality is also that we don't need to eat at a restaurant. The fact that we want restaurant food should be overshadowed by the reality that we can all eat at home for a fraction of the cost. In truth, we all need transportation. Now, you may want an expensive car, but you may have to accept a basic transportation car or public transportation until more resources are available. You may never have created a budget in your life, but good management of financial resources demand that you best allocate your money. I'd suggest you create a budget that covers your real needs, allows for the repayment of whatever debt you may have built, allows a bit for savings, and then leaves room for a few wants. Some people see an advantage in keeping money away from themselves or having someone else hold on to their funds. Other people cash their paycheck and immediately put the money into different envelopes for rent, groceries, gasoline, and other expenses. Take an honest look at yourself. If having an ATM card has been a problem because it's just too easy to get cash, well, get rid of it and operate on a cash economy until you've got a solid handle on your financial issues. You may want to take advantage of some of the free financial planning services that your bank or credit union may offer. People with lower incomes typically qualify for services to help them negotiate with creditors to pay back loans. Or they qualify for legal advice on declaring bankruptcy if that might be necessary. Being on top of your sobriety means learning to speak with friends, family, and your sponsor or coach about the drug and alcohol triggers that lead to relapse. You'll need to recognize that just having cash may be a powerful relapse trigger because having money is apt to have become associated with going out for drinks or making a drug buy. Money is also a powerful relapse trigger when it's in short supply because the absence of funds creates stress that recovering addicts may wish to soothe with drinking or drugging. It seems rather unfair that money can be both a relapse trigger when you have it as well as when you don't have it. If you've got a job and are making ends meet, consider setting up an automatic transfer of funds to a savings account so you won't even see the cash before it goes into your bank account. If you've been able to maintain your employment, you're apt to notice that you've got a lot more money to spend without the expenditures that you've been making on drugs and alcohol. That's a good thing. Even though you've got some additional money, or perhaps have additional money, please understand that you do not want to overspend. It just leads to stress, conflicts with loved ones, and may lead to relapse. Some addicts recognize that spending money is kind of its own kind of high, and you'll want to avoid that high as well. If you're in a relationship with somebody who manages money better than you do, you may want to lean on their strengths, at least until you've got better financial skills. That's all for now. Be sure to connect with your coach and let them know about your specific financial situation so that we can build some additional podcasts to suit your needs. Thanks for listening.